Hear the word of God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you've come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless principles, elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. It wasn't my plan, and through my condition, though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of the blessing you felt? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out. They being the false teachers he's been speaking of this whole time. It says, they want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is also good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for I am in anguish, again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. So you see, this is a twist in our story. We've looked at the Galatians for the last few weeks, and in the Galatians, Paul has said in the beginning, I can't believe you traded the gospel for something that's not the gospel, this counterfeit gospel. You traded it for a form of legalism, of here's what I do or don't do, and that makes me right with God. It's a faith plus going back and keeping the law of Moses. You've been hijacked by these false teachers who came in and started to twist what I've said. And so he confronts him about that. He says, you can go that way. He's going to talk about licentiousness, of saying, hey, I can pray this prayer, accept Jesus, and then live any way I want to live because I've got my fire insurance. He's got a couple of errors he wants to fight in this letter. And so he's been very deliberate from the very beginning. He's been, you know, passionate. This is Paul at his most passionate. And here he is getting very personal with them, talking about their personal relationship, how you received me, how you would. I had this ailment. You didn't even want to look at me when I came to you. I was not somebody who was attractive and would be somebody you'd want to listen to. But I was not. I don't even know what exactly. We don't know what he's talking about exactly of what his appearance was. But he had some kind of illness or ailment. This could have been his thorn in the flesh. Probably the best guess is something to do with his eyes. And so you could imagine some kind of condition he had, and it was affecting even his eyesight. But it says that they received him with such warmth that they would have gouged out their eyes for him and given them to him, because that's what he needed. And then these other teachers came in and turned the Galatian church against Paul. And so Paul's writing now to clear up, hey, I'm still for you. You should be with me. Why are you following this? And so he's going to clear up some things. So first he's going to talk about what it is to be re-enslaved. Verse 8, he says, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those things that are by nature not God's. Now I want to share with you a story from 2005 in the New York Times out of Cambodia. There was a journalist named Nicholas Kristof, and this story was originally entitled "Back to the Brothel," and it was in three parts. And so it was in Cambodia again. It says it begins with this: after I purchased Sri Mom. So what this guy did was he was a journalist in Cambodia, and he purchased two slaves who were confined to a brothel in Cambodia. One for $203 and one for $150. Sri Mom was purchased from her brothel for $203 a year ago, he says in 2005. He brought her back to her village. The joy was overwhelming. Her parents, her siblings, just assumed she was dead. And here she has returned. They cried, they hugged her, they were stricken with emotion and joy, and he got to witness this scene. He had no doubts that the slave he had purchased, Sarai's mom, would be fine. He had the other one he bought for $150 and set free, brought her back home. Sarai Neth, he was not so sure about, but in fact, she was thriving. She was about to go to beauty school and become a cosmetologist, and she was thriving, Sarai Neth was. But he was devastated to learn that 1 year later, Sarai's mom had left and went back to her place of slavery. Back to the place she was bought free from. That's where she went to. She was in the wild town of Poipet, which is where her old brothel was. When she saw the one who had purchased her, she ran from him and hid. She didn't want to see his face. She was so ashamed. She ran away. She said, "I never lie to people, but I've lied to you," she said forlornly. "I said I would not come back, but I did. I didn't want to return, but I did." And so this man says, this is not uncommon. Aid groups are unnerved by this. They'll liberate young girls, teenage girls, from slavery, and these girls will come back to slavery. He said it would be a tighter world if slaves would always seek freedom, but they're often stigmatized. They're often shattered when they're set free. And sometimes the only place they feel they can hang their or lift their heads up is back in their slavery. And so there she had no self-esteem. She was addicted to meth, and she went back craving her place back in slavery. So it says even her owner there, she speaks glowingly about her owner and says, "She always looks out for me. She always takes care of me." But if you look at the results, if you look at what's actually happening, she's not getting any money out of this. She's getting ripped off by her owner. The owner is supplying drugs for her and enabling this drugs habit. It is a toxic place. It's a bad situation. Awful. It's the 21st century. This is a woman who is enslaved and then set free and then goes back to it. Her old path is her easy way. It's where she's found security. And the number one principle of our world is that we must save ourselves. And the best way she knew how to do that was to go back to her old way. She was disoriented being free. She didn't know how to function in the free life, and she was addicted. She went back to her old way. That is the most basic principle, the elementary principle of our world, is we must save ourselves. And so that's what he's talking about here. The Galatians, the first thing on your outline, boys and girls, is that God sets us free from worshiping demons. Now, demons, in Paul's other letters, the Corinthians, and in this one, he talks about how the people he has ministered to in these churches like Galatia were worshiping, you know, Greek gods. They're worshiping, love. They're worshiping Aphrodite. They're worshiping, money and power. And so they take these things that they need, economic, prosperity, and they'll worship the gods of the fields and agriculture. They'll take those things that seek to be their salvation and are offered a salvation, and they will create a god to worship. And that's what they were set free from. But Paul says these are not gods at all. These are false gods. These are demons. These are spirits that they're worshiping, and they're enslaved to them. And really, these slave owners, just like the owner we spoke of earlier, doesn't have our best interests at heart. They're using us and taking advantage of us. And so the Galatians were those who were enslaved. They had ignored God's law. And they had only thought about the basic principle of the world, is that they have to save themselves. So they looked to what they thought would save them, which is these false gods, these demons. But then Paul came in speaking about Christ, the one who made the world, that we have corrupted and we've left him. This same creator entered into our world as a baby, became born of the law, and bore the curse that we deserved. He substituted in our place to save us. And anyone who will believe in him can be saved. And they believed in this gospel. It was all about what Christ had done. This is it. They were set free from that. They didn't have to worship mountains and money and sex and anything else. They worshiped God, the true God, the one who made all these things. So that's the first thing. They were set free from worshiping demons. The second thing you got to know here in this text is that relating to God on the basis of law or good works is actually to be re-enslaved to worshiping demons. Isn't that interesting? Like that, like you think, man. So I thought I was out. I thought like that's obvious that I'm worshiping a demon when I'm bowing down to a wooden statue that I've made, or to these other gods out there. That's obviously if I'm chanting Wiccan chants, that's obviously dark and outside of the true religion. But what Paul is saying is that if you are worshiping God and you are relating to Him on the basis of what you do, you are being re-enslaved to demons. That's what he's saying here. It says, look at verse 9. But now that you've come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back to the weak and worthless principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? And his example is, you observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I've labored over you in vain. So the false teachers were not encouraging them to ignore God's law. That was their old way. They were telling them to keep all of God's law meticulously, or God would reject them. That they had to do, they had to go to church. They had to read their Bibles. They had to observe these seasons and observe these years, or God would not love them. Isn't that how we feel sometimes? Is that if I don't do this, then I will be rejected by God? Like, if, you know, like so it's like it's nothing wrong with encouraging that kind of behavior. That's a good behavior to encourage. But the idea is it doesn't justify you or make you pleasing to God at all. That's not what does it. It's Christ. And so to add anything to Jesus removes Christ from the center and totally upends everything, and you end up worshiping something else. Your own abilities, your own performance. So Paul claims that doing that is to become re-enslaved, run back to, I'm going to save myself, which is what we always thought. And it's a very religious way, but it's I would argue more dangerous, you know, like it's religious. Alternatives are more dangerous than unreligious. Just do whatever you want, have as much fun as you want, because they're so hard to see that you're not relying upon Jesus alone, that you're relying upon getting out of your own sin, and you feel like, I've got out of my sin, I've done it, and now I'm okay. Or you feel like, I'm not doing so well with my sin, and God must not accept me because I'm not good enough. I was at the liquor store this week preparing for communion. I was getting the wine, okay? I'm getting the wine, and I said, hey, you know, you guys know what are the best wines for communion? And they said, I don't know. I never go to church. And so like I said, well, you should come to my church. And the guy says, well, hey, you know, if I go into your church, I'll probably burst into flames, you know, because I'm too bad for church. And that is the exact thought that every single person in Norman has. I'm not good enough to be in your church. And I'm like, no, that is the worst thing you could ever say to me, because that is not what we believe here. You're not too bad to be in a church. You will not burst into flames. It's the people that think they won't burst into flames that actually ought to burst into flames. Like, that's actually what you're saying. Like, that's what Paul is saying. You're enslaved to this principle of the world. It's like, I've got to save myself. I'm not good. I haven't worked hard enough to be in there. You know, I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. That is awful theology. That's not theology. That's manology. I do this and I get saved, and I don't do this and I'm just I'm unclean. And I can't even fit in with this worship thing. I can't even go to church. That is what we all believe, and that is worshiping a demon. I'm not kidding. That is demonic. That is the principles of the world, the elementary principles of the world, and that is not Christianity. We have got to be clear about that. We've got to say, hey, does your church help you to love God more, or does it help you to hate yourself more and hate God more? Is your church giving you freedom and liberty, or is your church giving you slavery again? I mean, like, that's as clear as it gets. And bring them to Trinity Presbyterian Church. I am committed to helping you become shepherds and helping myself become the best shepherd I can be and the best preacher I can be, the best Christian I can be, but realizing it's not my preaching, it's not my being a good Christian, it's not my helping other people that's going to save me. And that's where I'm in a good place. If I can look to Christ and point other people to Christ and not my own good works, not what I'm doing or my bad, you know, that we've got to get out of this works mentality. And that's why he's appealing to them. He's saying, look, your salvation finally here, your salvation has and always will be accomplished fully by Christ. Salvation equals freedom. And I know we have a tendency, he's saying, hey, you know that, you know better than this, and you're going back into slavery again. It's just a different kind, it's a different master. But the master's the same, he's tricky, he has disguises. One disguise can be, hey, do whatever you want apart from God, just make your own way. The other one's do everything apart from God, but do it in a church. Yeah, like do it under, like, read your Bible, go to worship. You know, if you go to worship enough, you'll be acceptable. If you read your Bible enough, you'll be acceptable. If you do these sacraments, you'll be acceptable. You can trust in these things that you do. That's what it is. It's another false gospel. It's an elementary principle. I must save myself. But freedom comes not by doing, but it comes by hearing and believing. All we've got to do is tell them and tell ourselves. It's by hearing and believing. That's what the gospel is, the good news is. It's good news. Just like we talked about Juneteenth earlier, right? That the declaration was only as good as if it was received. It had to be received. The emancipation had to be received. The freedom had to be received and heard. It's not by anything they did. It's just, hey, here it is. Believe it. Go do it. It is what it is. God's got to free us from this. We've got to get over being obsessed with whatever we think is our salvation. If it's our money, if it's acquiring wealth, then if we're doing well, then we'll feel like we're good. If we're doing poorly, we'll feel devastated. You know, whatever it is, whatever our religious activity is, those things that we really major on are going to be our functional gods. That's the elementary principle. Sometime that plays out as religious activity. And it's hard to spot. It's really hard to spot. But we've got to drive that out. We've got to find that. So we don't become like this poor woman who went back into slavery. She found freedom. She was given freedom. And then she went right back to what she knew. Default mode. Right back to her old addictions. Guys, we can be free of our slavery. We can be free because the gospel is for all of us. The gospel of Jesus Christ became the curse so that we could be becoming his righteousness, so that we could be his righteousness. There's nothing for you in the world. It will crush you. That's why Jesus had to come into this world and become crushed. Okay? You know, when Jesus, you know, like, when I think about Jesus, you know, if I wanted to go back to my old slave master, you know, we all got them. We've all got our slave masters, those people that own us, or whether it's our parents or their approval, or if it's our friends, you know, like, you know, kids even have it. They want to wear the right clothes so that everybody at school doesn't make fun of them and they get to be cool. You know what it is. Like, whatever it is that you do to work acceptance, you know, those things own you. When you go back to those old slave masters, what happens? The slave masters say, hey, wait, you're already here. Wait, you're here. You go away. How can you be here? Because you're already here. Like, I'm looking at two of you. What happens is the slave master says, you're already in here. You're already enslaved in here. How can you be in front of me? Because look, Jesus has taken on your slavery. He's taken on your sin. He's taken on your curse. He's taken it on. You have nothing to do in there anymore. You're out of there. You're free. You can't go back in. Jesus already went in there for you. He's already bore the curse for you. You have no business being in slavery. You can't go back to it. When you feel like you're in, when you're living according to this principle, you know how you're going to be? You're going to be really particular about what other people are doing. You observe days, you observe years, you observe these festivals, these religious things, and you're going to be really particular about what other people are doing, because that's what makes you, that's what defines you, is your performance. And so you're going to look at other people's performance, you're going to be picking at them, and you're going to feel better about what you're doing because you're not falling like they are. You're reading your Bible every day, whatever it is, your thing that you're good at, or you're serving more people. You know what? And those other people are just so stinking selfish. Not like you. You know, that's the thing. So you got to figure out, you got to identify what is your performance metric that you look at to really justify yourself. And that's what you got to look at. And that's what these guys were doing. And these guys were what we want to hear now. What we want to hear is not the good news. We want to hear the alternative, the elementary principles, is like, hey, you can save yourself. Just work really hard at this. This is it. 5 steps, just do it. And that's what these guys were giving them. And it totally turned them against Paul. Paul was going to them in Galatia, and he was their guy. They loved him. They would have gouged out their own eyes for them. And now it says in verse 15, have I become your enemy? Have I become your enemy now? Have I become that? That's awful. They've hated him now because, you know why they hate him? Because he doesn't do what they do. He doesn't look like they look like anymore. They've took on this rigorous live through the Bible in a year. You know, like live the biblical mandate daily. They put on all the laws, all the rituals, and all the eating. And Paul's not doing that. And they say, you're not one of us anymore. How many people feel like they can't come to church because they don't dress like you, or they don't do what you do, or go where you go? It's like, that is what we are. We are being the Galatians, and we need to listen to Paul. And so you can't treat people as if their works are what define them. Their works are not it's the gospel, because that's what defines you. And so you hold out to yourself and everyone else the gospel.